Part 3, Chapter 7. Turl was looking for Zit. When the machine finally went over, Turl had looked around in sudden suspicion. But Zit wasn't there. The crowd had laughed, especially at the last part of it when the machine went. And their laughter was like daggers in Turl's ears. Numph just stood there, shaking his head. He seemed almost cheerful when he commented to Turl.
Well, just shows you what animals can do.
Only then had he laughed.
They pee on the floor!
They had drifted back to their offices, and Turl was now searching the transport compound. In the underground floors, he walked past rows and rows of out-of-use vehicles, battle planes, trucks, blade scrapers. Yes, and ground cars, some of them quite posh. It had not struck him before how villainous was Zit's pawing off on him of that old wreck of a Mark II. He searched fruitlessly for half an hour, and then decided to try the repair room again. Seething, he stomped into it and stared around. His ear bones picked up a tiny whisper of metal on metal. He knew that sound. It was the safety slide being pulled back on a blaster.
Stand right there,
said Zit.
Keep your paws well away from your belt gun.
Turl turned. Zit had been standing just inside a dark tool locker. Turl was boiling.
You installed a remote control when you fixed that motor.
Why not?
Said Zit.
And a remote destruct charge as well.
Turl was incredulous.
You admit it!
No witnesses here. Your word, my word, means nothing.
But it was your own machine!
Written off. Plenty of machines.
But why did you do it?
I thought it was pretty clever, actually.
He stepped forward, holding the long-barreled blast gun in one hand.
But why?
You let our pay and bonuses be cut. If you didn't do it, you let it be done.
But look, if I could make animal operators, profits would come back.
That's your idea.
It's a good idea,
snapped Turl.
All right, I'll be frank. You ever try to keep machines going without mechanics? Your animal operators would have just messed up equipment. One just did, didn't it?
You messed that up! You realize that if this occurred on your report, you'd be out of work.
It won't occur on my report. There are no witnesses. Numph even saw me walk off before the thing went wild. He would never forward the report. Besides, they all thought it was funny.
Lots of things can be funny.
Zit motioned with the blaster barrel.
Why don't you just walk out of here and have a nice crap?
Leverage. Leverage, thought Turl. He was fresh out of it. He left the garage. Part 3, Chapter 8. Johnny was a mound of misery in the cage. The monster had pitched him in there before going off. It was cold, but Johnny could not hold a flint in his hands to start a fire. His fingers were a mass of blisters, and somehow, right then, he didn't want much to do with fire. His face was scorched, eyebrows and beard singed away. Some of his hair was gone. The old Chinko uniform cloth must have been fireproof. It had not ignited or melted, thus saving body burns. Bless the Chinkos. Poor devils. With their polite phrases and brightness, they had yet been exterminated. That was one lesson to be learned. Anyone who befriended or sought to cooperate with the Cyclos was doomed from the beginning. Turl had not made one motion in the direction of that burning vehicle to salvage him, knowing he was tied to it. Compassion and decency were no part of the Cyclo character. Turl had even had a gun and could have shot the flexirope in half. Johnny felt the ground rumble. The monster was in the cage. A boot toe turned him over. Slitted, amber eyes appraised him.
"You'll live,"
grunted Turl indifferently.
"How long will it take you to get well?"
Johnny said nothing. He just looked up at Turl.
"You're stupid. You don't know anything about remote controls."
"And what could I have done? Tied to the seat,"
said Johnny.
"Zit, the bastard put a remote control under the hood and a firebomb."
"How was I supposed to see that?"
"You could have inspected."
Johnny smiled thinly.
"Tied to the cab?"
"You know now. When we do it again, I'll..."
"There won't be any again."
Turl loomed over him, looking down.
"Not under these conditions."
"Shut up, animal!"
"Take off this collar. My neck is burned."
Turl looked at the frayed flexirope. He went out of the cage and came back with a small welding unit and a new coil of rope. It wasn't flexirope. It was thinner and metallic. He burned off the old rope and welded the new one on, ignoring Johnny's effort to twist away from the flame. He fixed the far end of the new rope into a loop and dropped it over a high cage bar out of reach. With Johnny's eyes burning holes in his back, Turl went out of the cage and locked the door. Johnny wrapped himself in the dirty fur of a robe and lay in sodden misery beneath the newly fallen snow.